This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting verse 1. It reads, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect."
I want to take just a moment and express appreciation, as I know is felt by many here, for the men who do such a fine job in leading us in worship. In fact, in doing anything and everything that needs to be done in what we are trying to do in this place to the glory of God. And if I could speak on behalf of the rest of the congregation, your efforts are greatly appreciated and do not go unnoticed. There is a huge difference between surviving and thriving. If I could just use a football illustration or example for a moment, I'm not a University of Texas alumnus, but I am as diehard a fan as they come. And for the past few years, we have watched a team that was just surviving. And as of late, we began to see a kind of a pulse beating, some indication that we might come off of life support and actually thrive and do more than just survive. There's a vast difference between surviving and thriving. In fact, one means just to exist, and the other means to grow, to develop well, and to prosper. And so one is evidence of life. The other is an indication, perhaps, that that life is in danger or in jeopardy. You can see that with football teams. You can see it in real life. Oftentimes when a person is hospitalized, maybe they've had a heart attack, or maybe they've had some illness, some happening in their life that has threatened their life. And there have been numerous times when I have been in the hospital room visiting with someone in such a situation, and the doctor will come in or the nurse will come in, and maybe even on the dry erase board in the room, they'll say, "We need to see these things before you can leave." Because those are indicators that you're not just surviving, that you're actually thriving. And that you are capable of leaving that bed and going on forward from there and developing well and prospering and growing further. It's life. It's the difference between surviving and thriving. That is, as you'll see as we go through this lesson this morning, is a universal principle and life application that we need to appreciate. There's a huge difference between just going along and making it, surviving, and actually thriving. This morning, I want to take that and apply it to the church, though, and in particular, the local congregation, because it's the same for us as a body of Christians who are trying to do work in this community to the glory of God. we will either be just surviving or we'll be thriving. How do you know the difference? It's easy for a doctor in a hospital to look at some x-rays, to look at a CT scan, to look at blood work, to check vital signs, to see if a person is just surviving or if they are actually thriving. But how do you do that relative to the church? What are the vital signs of a thriving church? That's the idea, the thought, or the question that I want to explore with you this morning. What are the vital signs of a thriving church? Oftentimes we jump to the outside and we look for external things. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to implement this program, or maybe we need to focus on this out there. And that will help us, and that will be an indicator that we are doing more than just surviving. We're actually thriving. And I would suggest to you that the things that really apply and contribute to a thriving church are things that are internal. Things that have to do with right here in this room among these people on this occasion, and every occasion for that matter. I want to use three passages of Scripture primarily this morning, and I'm going to invite you to turn to each of these, because these are going to be the governing passages, the governing principles, are the governing locations for the three ideas or principles or vital signs, really, that I want to give us this morning, that I am 100% confident are key contributors that make the difference between surviving and thriving. What are they? The first one's in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Look at that passage with me. You might have already recognized it just by the label, Acts 17, 11. But maybe not, and maybe you've not looked at this passage in the detail that I want us to examine it this morning. Here, speaking of the Christians who were at Berea, Paul says of them, these were more fair-minded, maybe your translation says noble, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Here's the first vital sign, or the first principle, as it relates to a thriving church. A thriving church has members who are studious. Here we see a group of people who are noted because they crack open the Word of God and they search the Scriptures daily to make sure and to see for themselves that the things that they're being taught are so. Now let's dwell on that for just a moment. Look at some of the qualities of their conduct again. They receive the word with a ready mind. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It is a great and notable behavior to hide the word of God in our hearts, but it can't just stop at putting it in our hearts. Hiding it in our heart, and that being the only thing that we do relative to the Word of God and being studious, is not enough. I know that because in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, in Jesus giving what we typically refer to as the parable of the soils, he says, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word, and they receive it with joy, note, but these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. You have to do more than just receive it. If you and I think that sitting in a pew, we'll just start with four. Once on Wednesday, three times on Sunday. If we think that that in and of itself is going to be sufficient to make us thrive, we're mistaken. And yet, for some of us, those numbers dwindle down because it may only even be three. It may even only be two. It may even only be one time. It may be sporadic. Listen, I'm just telling you this morning that sitting here and letting someone else put it in your ears so it can make its way to your mind is not going to be enough for you to thrive. You're going to have to do more with it. Look at these people again. They received the word with a ready mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. And so another quality here would be a close daily connection with the Word of God. A daily connection. Why daily? Is that some ritualistic idea or concept that we just do so we can check some boxes and say, I did it daily? No, it's more than that. Because the need for it comes up daily. Let me give you a couple of examples that may kind of seem off the wall, but they're very pertinent when you think about what we're talking about. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 16, relative to Samson and Delilah, and you know she wanted him to tell of his strength, what the secret was. Judges 16:16 says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words. Here is an individual that's trying to get another to give in and to do something that he ought not do. And the Bible says daily that vexing or temptation came his way. But here's another. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 10, relative to Joseph staying in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife trying to tempt Joseph to do with her things he knew he ought not, the Bible says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Daily. In both of these situations, temptation came to these individuals to get them to do something other than what they ought to do. And I don't know when the last time you may have looked at Luke 4 verse 13. Relative to the temptation of Jesus. But the Bible says there, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed him until an opportune time. And so it's not just one shot in any of these situations. It is a repeated shot wherein our enemy tries to get at us, and I would submit to you that for me and you, it's daily. It is going to be something day by day, every day. He will vex us and try to get us to give in. And so we have to be studious. We have to spend quality time with the Word of God with a ready mind, and we need to do it daily because the need for it is going to come daily. But notice these individuals searched the scriptures to determine truth. They searched diligently because that was the place where the answers were and are that would help them thrive. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul told the Ephesian elders, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I want to thrive. What do I need? I need the Word of God because it is able to build me up and to give me an inheritance among those who were sanctified. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so as we think about being a congregation or a people that thrive, we can't look at the elders and say, elders, you need to come up with some brilliant plan or strategy looking out there that's going to help us thrive. What we need to do is turn around and look at ourselves as individuals and saying, if I want the church to thrive, then I need to thrive. And what is a quality that I need to possess, or what is one of the vital signs that are evidence that I'm thriving? Well, I'm studious. I spend my time daily with the Word of God with a ready mind, searching the Scriptures, because I know that's the answer to help me thrive as an individual. You remember the commercial? It's been a few years, I guess. Milk does the body good. Spiritually speaking, milk does the body good. In fact, that's what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says. As newborn babes, where'd Justin go? I bet that newborn babe was desiring some milk. And we're to be like that, brethren. As newborn babes, desire, crave the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Is the church in my community, is the church of which I am a member, a thriving church? Is it just existing, or is it thriving? How do you know? Well, there's some vital signs. Here's the first one. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. A thriving church has members who are studious. Number two, let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. I know, that's Old Testament, right? But Ecclesiastes 12, 13 packages the essence and the teaching of the Bible, and the New Testament in particular, so well that we can use it as a template to describe this next vital sign or this next quality. Here's what the passage says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Or this is the whole of man. This is what it's all about. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now let's look at that for a moment. Because in the second place, a thriving church has members who are focused. In other words, they know what their all is. They know what the whole of this is all about. And that involves a proper fear for God. That will bring things into focus. I have never in my life wanted to take a steel cable and stretch it from one skyscraper to another, and ratchet it as tight as it would go, and then take my shoes off and get a long pole and just take off walking across that tightrope. Never entered into my mind as something that I would like to do. But people do that. Tightrope walkers. Don't you know they have to be focused? What drives that focus? I submit to you, one thing that drives that focus is fear of falling all the way down to the street. And that would not be good. And so they have a proper fear and respect and awe for gravity as they walk across that rope. It keeps them focused. Just next time you see one of those fellows or ladies on television doing that, you just look at the focus with which they attack that challenge. Proper fear brings things into focus. I submit to you that a proper fear of God brings things into focus. The psalmist said in Psalm 36 in verse 1, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. What makes the wicked wicked? Why do they practice wicked behavior? Well, he says right here, there is no fear of God before his eyes. No proper appreciation for, no proper fear for the God of heaven. That involves fear of God. It involves terror. It involves reverence. It involves respect. It involves awe. If I want to be focused relative to the things of God, I need to have a proper fear for him. And that means I realize he's a God of terror. And if I'm studious, I'll see that all throughout the Bible in examples. I need to revere him. I need to respect him. I need to stand in awe of him. That will help me be focused in this life. Doing his will keeps me focused. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And so doing God's commands, doing his will keeps me focused. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. More than just being hid in my heart, it lights my path, it lights my way. I would imagine that tightrope walker is thinking one step at a time. And all of the balance and coordination that goes into each step. He's not thinking about that step over there. He's thinking about this one right here. He's focused. But you know, clearly grasping our purpose in this life helps us to be focused. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is man's all. I have an all. I mean, you just watch this week. Don't look at yourself yet. Just watch the people around you this week. And watch how they live. And watch how they make choices. And the decisions that affect their life. It's aimless. It has no rhyme nor reason to it. It may have a goal before it, but typically it's a temporal goal. It's something that will not get them out of this life and beyond this life. It's materialistic. And by and large, the people of this world lack focus. What about us? Is the Roanoke Church of Christ a thriving church? Well, we need to dig a little deeper and ask the question. We've talked about the studious part, but what about focus? Are we a focused congregation? Well, how do you know? Well, let's check the vital signs of the people who make up the congregation. Is Joey Davis a focused person? Are you a focused person? Have you really taken into consideration the theme that is expressed in Ecclesiastes 12:13? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. I have an all? Yes, I do. I have an all. But if I don't clearly grasp that, I will not be focused. It'd be kind of like when you go to a restaurant, have to pick on food for a moment. And, you know, there are a few restaurants that you could go to on occasion where you don't eat anything all day because you only go to this kind of restaurant every once in a while. And so you want to be able to enjoy the meal and you want to take it in. And then you get there. Maybe it's a buffet. And then they start bringing those things to your table like bread. you know, that fill you up. And you think, oh, this bread is delicious. And so I'll have some bread. But by the time the whole reason for you going there gets there, you're full of bread or chips and salsa or something like that, right? I'm not hungry anymore. I filled up on the things that preceded what I actually came here for, and now I'm not hungry anymore. Isn't it amazing how the material things of life can transcend into the spiritual realm? People are in the buffet of life, and they are filling up on things that have nothing to do with their all. What about Christians? What about the church? You know, it's possible to be really, really busy and not be involved in your all. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. What is our mission? If we had to boil down the mission of the church, the thing that we're to be focused on, that is an indicator of whether or not we are thriving, what would it be? Well, surely we would have to go at least as far back as the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's the substance of our all and focus as the church. I would sum it up in this way, taking into consideration the other books of the New Testament. We are to be about saving souls and keeping souls saved. That's our role. It's not to provide an environment that is attracting and entertaining to the community. We could do that, and we could be very busy at that, but in essence, what are we doing? We're giving bread, not the bread of life. We're giving bread and chips and salsa. And we're not allowing people to get to the substance of the meal that's actually going to help them. How do we thrive as a congregation? We have to be focused on our mission. We have to know what it is, and we have to be tuned into it. A proper fear for God helps us to be focused. Doing His will helps us to be focused, clearly grasping that we have an all that we're to be about helps us to be focused. Knowing that we're accountable to God helps us to be focused. You know, at the end of every week, or at the beginning of the week, it's the end of my work week, but it's the beginning of the week. I can guarantee I have two assignments that people will know quite readily whether or not I was focused on those things during the week. I have to get up and preach. Jay, now I'm thankful he's teaching Bible class for this quarter on Sunday, but the same with him. You could see, and you could see it this morning. You could see him bubbling over with the things that he had learned in the week, preparing to teach that class. And teaching from the overflow of what he learned. He found it difficult even to get it all in. He was focused on that task. Here's the problem, though. For every one of us, it's not so evident. Because not all of us are up publicly serving in some capacity. But we can't just rely on the preacher or the teachers or the elders to be focused. If the church is going to thrive, we all have to be focused. And while there are some senses in which those who are engaged publicly are accountable, there's a sense in which we're all accountable. Because God will bring everything into judgment one day. If we are not goal-oriented, if we don't realize and accept the fact that we have an all that we're to be focused on, then we're not going to thrive. We're just going to walk about aimlessly, like so many people in the world today. And we're not going to help the church to thrive at all. Number three, the passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let's look at that as quickly as we can. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. And I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become unqualified." Here's the third principle, or the third vital sign. Studious, focused. A thriving church, number three, has members who are self-disciplined. Self-disciplined. The image here is that we are in a race to obtain a prize, and that means there are winners and losers. We'll either win or we'll lose. As individuals, but as a church, as a congregation, if we're going to affect this community, I mean, if we closed our doors today and we left, would the community be affected by it? It should be. It should have some effect. If it wouldn't, then we're just surviving. If it would, then we're thriving. That's a great way to look at it. Would the community be affected if we closed the doors today? They should. So thriving or surviving? Well, we have to be. Look at this picture of winners and losers, because we're either going to win or we're going to lose relative to thriving. And how do you do that? Well, Paul says here we have to be self-disciplined. He says we must run with certainty. A literal translation of that would be, I run straight for the finish line. Not like, you know, you send a child to do something and they're like this. Ooh, they're all over the place. Not a straight line. They're all over the place. Are we all over the place? Are we running this race in a straight line? Paul says we must discipline. The text says our body, but the Greek word soma there can be used as our whole being. And that makes sense, right? We have to discipline our whole being. Verse 25. We're temperate in all things. Verse 27, I discipline my body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 records where Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Self-discipline. And the alternative to that is disqualification. He says in the latter part of verse 27, the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, since a promise remains of entering in his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. And then Paul asks the Christians at Galatia in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you that you should obey the truth? And so we have these examples and these admonitions and these cautions against failing, not finishing the race, becoming a loser rather than a winner. How do I keep that from happening, and why is that so important? Well, it's important because it's a key ingredient to thriving rather than just existing. And the how I do that is the self-discipline that is required. I have to be studious, I have to be focused, but I have to be self-disciplined. If we cannot develop the capacity to discipline ourselves, we're not going to help the church. If it is the case that I have a tendency, a propensity to engage in behavior that is wrong, and I have to wait for somebody to come and tell me stop doing that, I'm not thriving. I'm just existing. At some point, I have to own the responsibility to discipline myself and to see my wrongs and to correct them myself. If we do not develop that capacity to self-correct, we're just surviving, we're not thriving, and we will not help the church at all. Well, very quickly, let's bring this to a close. Thriving as a congregation is not about great numbers. It's not about cultural relevance, doing what the world wants us to do so that they can be attracted to us. It's not about big programs and big efforts. It's about the little things. It's about me and you in the pew. And whether or not we are going to thrive as individual Christians. And if we do, then the church will thrive as well. Someone has said, when the fire inside us burns brighter than the fire around us, then we're in a good position to come off of spiritual life support and to thrive. And I would say that's true for us this morning. I want the very best for this congregation. I want us to have an impact on this community. But we have to start as individuals. And we have to work on me, myself, and I. How do we do that? Well, I give you this morning some vital signs of a thriving church. We have to be studious. We have to be focused. And we have to be self-disciplined. You can take that to any area of life. It's not just the church. You can take that into your marriage. You have to be studious. You have to understand what being married is all about. You have to be focused. You have to be self-disciplined. Every area of life, an employee in a business, same thing. Studious, you have to know your job. You have to be focused on your work and you have to be self-disciplined. Young people, listen. I wish someone had told me when I was your age, here are three things that will keep you out of trouble and help you be successful in life. What? Be studious. Know what God has said about your life and listen to people who have actually lived the life that you're trying to live now. Listen. Be studious. Get advice. And then be focused. Know what your all is. Where are you trying to go? What purpose are you trying to serve? What does God want of me? And then be self-disciplined. Don't hide in the shadows, engaged in behavior. You know it's not, that's not right. Waiting for mom, dad, somebody to come along and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Discipline yourself. Take it upon yourself to do these things. And I guarantee you, you will do more than just exist. You'll thrive. And if the 12, 13, 14, 18, 20-year-olds in this congregation begin to thrive right now, what will that say about the church in this community 20 years from now, 50 years from now? Don't wait to some point where you say, okay, now I'm going to flip the switch because I'm an adult, and now I'm going to start working on thriving. Start right now because it's important right now. May God help us to see the individual responsibility involved in our collective effort to thrive. You're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, to have your sins washed away, become a child of God, a Christian. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we're going to sing a song to encourage. Will you come as we stand and sing?